This is Rod Peterson on demand. No.
He said good morning from Phoenix, Arizona, where it will hit 90 degrees today. Listen, Tom, be very grateful that you are the age that you are and you have the ability to be in Phoenix, because quite frankly, it's all I can think about right now.
How about that?
Do you know how many snowbirds are stuck up here right now? For whatever reason, not being able to get out of Canada into the warm locales.
November's like the worst month to be stuck here.
Yep.
At least by January, February, you're used to it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome to the RP Show, everybody. And hey, in real time with Costa Marigas, checking in. Morning, crew. Have a great day. I love that show, In Real Time with Costa Marigas. Super guy, super crew there. It is Canada's daytime sports talk show, and I can tell you, it's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah.
And the reason that I think it is, there's no snow in this particular part of the world here in the sweatpants capital of Canada. The snow's just coming straight down. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Like it's not... Not bad conditions out there or anything. Not that I saw anyways.
No.
It's just a beautiful snow globe type atmosphere around here. And we're ready to talk sports for the next couple hours.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
No, that's absolutely what it is.
Yo, obviously we're in a good mood today. And I hope everybody else is as well. Another great job by producer Clark of guest booking today. And I've got a lot of things I want to get to. I hope 2 hours will be enough. Former Toronto Maple Leafs captain Rick Vive will be with us in hour one. Now, the Leafs are your team and they're Clark's team, so that should mean a lot to you guys. But I was a huge Rick Vive fan as a kid, and I wasn't even a Leafs fan, but I was a Vive fan, okay?
Cool.
And the other day when we showed the Leafs retro, reverse retro jersey, whatever that means, I said the first guy I thought of was Rick Vive. And I didn't even know Vive was coming up.
That's cool.
Later this week.
Yeah.
So a lot of things to get to. He's got a book out. Of course, guys, these guys are all on a book tour right now. And obviously, we're a stop on their book tour. I love it. Luka Kanji is going to be with us. And everybody that follows the CFL knows his name. Played at Waterloo. Was the kicker for the Rough Riders in the 07 Grey Cup. Went on to play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Luka Kanji. I have not seen the kid's face in over a decade. Pretty sure he's not a kid anymore, right?
Yeah, clearly.
It's getting to be a long time ago.
It's been that long, hey? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowicz, he's celebrating his birthday today. He says, it's only beautiful out because Grey Cup week isn't happening. If we were kicking off Grey Cup week, it'd be minus 45 before the wind chill. Oh, yeah. Do you want to go back to 2013? Which... I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll get to the quick six show topics here. I'll just say Luka Kanji's going to be with us. We'll have a few strolls down memory lane. And then also from the BC Hockey League Network, Brian Weeb. You know that I write for the dubnetwork.ca, a website that covers the Western Hockey League. Brian Weeb does it for the BC Hockey League. And our analytics show, you've seen them. We got a lot of viewers in BC, particularly on Game Plus TV.
That's right.
So I've been itching to talk some Junior A with BC, and Brian Weeb's the guy to do it. So he's coming on a little later on. So let's go to the quick six show topics, please, Jordan, if you don't mind. And because it is Grey Cup Unite Week, I'm going to spend most of the show today going down that road, and I'll explain why in a moment. But these are the topics of our... that are going on besides Grey Cup Unite. Number one, Thursday night football tonight. Finally, a game that's not a dog.
Yeah.
It's the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Both teams are 6-3. They're two of three teams in the same division, the NFC West, that are all 6-3. This might be a good face-off for later, not now. Is tonight's game for supremacy in the NFC West? Does tonight's winner win the crown? You think so?
I think so.
What a great game it's going to be.
I really do. Yeah.
And, well, I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and they had Irv on, Michael Irvin, and they were talking about Russell Wilson versus Kyler Murray tonight, and it was Mr. Miyagi versus... They were talking about that.
Wow.
That's LaRusso.
Super cool. And the thing is if Arizona wins, this all but ends Seattle's chances of finishing first in the division. I mean, yeah, there's lots of games left and things can happen, but...
That's what I mean, yeah.
But Arizona will have won both games against Seattle if they win tonight? The season series, like, done? Like, that's big. That season series is huge. And when there's a lot of teams, when you get a big discrepancy between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom, that's why you have a lot of 6-3 teams now, and some 6-3 teams that are projected to not make the playoffs because it's so competitive. So if you don't win the division, it becomes really tough to make it in the playoffs.
So this is very exciting game tonight, 7:20 p.m. kickoff Central Time. John Bolke said they're snowed in. I read, was it Kindersley? One of our viewers said they're snowed in. They're sitting at the hotel watching the RP show on this Thursday morning. I couldn't think of much better in my life of a situation to be in.
Awesome.
You're snowed in and you got sports talk for the next 2 hours of the sports that you care about. So thank you for making this part of your day. Moving on quickly, Canada's Ridly Greig has the Rona. Brandon Wheat, Kings forward, was due to participate for Canada's World Junior team at the camp in Red Deer, and he's got coronavirus. So I hope that he recovers. That rolls into point three. I'm enjoying the camp coverage from the Centrium in Red Deer with Craig Button and Ryan Rashog, but I'm asking, why is this camp so bloody long? Have you noticed it's now, it's November 19th?
Yeah. Usually this doesn't start till, what, the first week of December. So into it a couple of weeks early, but it's a chance, you know, assuming that, you know, this is going to happen. Things like Ridly Greig getting the coronavirus, right? It's going to happen. You know, other positive tests or things like that where they might have to quarantine or isolate, kind of work everybody in at their own pace. I think that's important. And get guys on the ice who haven't been on the ice. They haven't been playing a full season. So you need that extra time to be on the ice. It's not like you've been playing for a couple of months and then you can come to camp and just kind of get some chemistry together. You got to go through a training camp before you get to the Team Canada training camp, right? Just to get back into game shape. It's going to take some time.
Oh, I'm not opposed to it.
No, for sure.
I'm just saying this is a ridiculously long camp. Mind you, SJHL teams went through almost 2 full months of training camp before they hit the ice.
Yep.
And some other leagues similar. I guess, what else is there to do? And the thing with Hockey Canada is, if you've been watching this show long enough or been watching my thoughts on how things roll with Hockey Canada and in the world of hockey, Hockey Canada is like the 33rd NHL team. They've got the budget. They've got the TV rights, radio rights, merchandise. They have the money. So they're going to put their kids up in a hotel in Red Deer. Money is no object to Hockey Canada, is my point.
Right.
So what else are you guys going to do? I'm just wondering, watching the coverage, saying, are the other countries doing the same thing? I don't know. But we've enlisted the services of Rich Sutter to be our World Junior Insider. We just dropped that bomb this morning amongst each other. Because I accidentally texted Rich. It's kind of a funny story. I was on the stationary bike this morning watching the World Junior coverage. I'm like, we should have Rich Sutter as our World Juniors insider. Boom, send. I sent it to Rich, not Clark. So Rich wrote me back, I'm in! Oh, I guess we don't... I guess settled. Rich Sutter's the guy. I'm looking at the comments here. Kerry Shelstead writes in from Red Deer. He says, the players aren't doing anything else, and us locals can't go check it out. Boo. I know, I get it. It's the Red Deer bubble they're talking about. I'm getting into the coverage of this. And you're not going to get anywhere near that hotel. You're not going to get anywhere near the rink. What do you expect? It's bubble times, which, by the way, when Christmas rolls around, everybody's going to be locked down more so than they are now. That's what I believe. That's what I'm hearing. We're all going to be watching the World Juniors, and we'll all convene here every morning to talk about the game the night before and tee up the next night's game.
That's right.
So the projections are that all the hospitals are going to be packed to the rafters by Christmas with coronavirus. And what I don't understand is I saw a video sent to me yesterday of a guy that was in the local general hospital videoing the emergency room, and there was nobody there, the waiting room. So it's like, where's this overwhelming business coming from? Not offering an opinion, just telling you what I'm seeing and hearing. Moving on to point four, CFL Grey Cup Unite events. It's interesting. They had the Racial Injustice Roundtable last night, and Jackson Jeffcoat spoke, Natea Jay spoke, Brian Burnham spoke, and it was great. The coaches had spoken earlier. CFL is doing a good job with their Grey Cup Unite events if you have the means to log in and watch. So kudos to them for that. Point five, NBA draft last night. That's about all I'd like to say about it. Point six, some Grey Cup chatter. And Frankie Benvenuti is watching from Ottawa. Didn't I tell you I was on his podcast the other day?
Yeah.
Frankie, your timing is impeccable. And I'll tell you why. Frankie says, I'm just excited to have hockey back, man. Especially junior hockey. Need to see my 67s in there. So I was on his podcast. He's on the 13th Man podcast. And then I was on another podcast last night with a couple local guys, Josh Sigurdsson and Travis Backman. And we were just getting deep into CFL talk. They wanted to talk about the sim. They wanted to talk about CFL marketing when they come out of this. And the guys last night on the local podcast, Travis and Josh, wanted to talk about Grey Cup memories, Rider jerseys all time. What's your favorite? And I was getting this warm, fuzzy feeling of Grey Cup memories gone by. And for the fans of the other CFL teams, will you just indulge me for a second when I say, let me talk about this for a second. And for anybody that's got a podcast that wants to talk about it, I'm more than happy to come on. Because I'm not going to sit here every day and talk about it for hours, but I'll come on yours and talk about it for hours. For instance, the guy said, compare the 07 Grey Cup Rider team versus the 2013 Grey Cup Rider team. And I'm like, boys, listen, 07, nobody saw the Riders winning the Grey Cup. Like, nobody. There was no expectations. Why would you think they were going to win the Grey Cup in 07? It had been decades since they'd won their last one. 2013 Grey Cup. The president of the team brings in the coach and GM at the start of the year and says, if you don't win, you're fired. Okay. Big difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's putting it on the table.
Yeah, it's putting your ball. He put their balls on the table.
Yeah.
With a
mallet ready to go.
So I could sit and talk about this stuff all day. And the only reason that I don't is that we have fans from all the other CFL teams that watch, and they get angry when I talk about these old Rider memories. That's one. And two, as I put in my commentary this morning on Cat Country, I prefer to look through the windshield. I don't prefer to look in the rearview mirror in life. So I haven't thought about these Grey Cup things for a very long time, but I'm more than willing to talk about them now because it's Grey Cup week. And further to that, I think we could do the whole show on this if we wanted to, but we got great guests coming up in the form of Rick Vive, Luke Akanji, and Brian Weeb from BC Hockey League Network. But the CFL, I shouldn't say the CFL, TSN has come up with their list of the top Grey Cup teams of all time. There are eight, and they're running a bracket. If you haven't noticed, here are the teams, folks, that you can vote on. The 81 Eskimos, the 1948 Calgary Stampeders, which is our version of the 72 Dolphins. Never lost a game, won the Grey Cup. The 97 Argos with Doug Flutie and the boys. The 09 Alouettes. Really? They won the game on a penalty. They're not even as good as the 2010 Alouettes. What the hell are you guys talking about? They shouldn't have won the game, and we all know it. Even those Alouettes know it. You're going to put them in the top 10 all time? Top 8? What are you smoking? 95 Stallions. I got some time for that because it was a great story. And they were a very good team. Oh, and didn't have to play with any Canadians. The 69 Red Blacks. The 58 Blue Bombers. Before the advent of color television. And the 2011 BC Lions. Listen, all are great teams. But what are you guys trying to prove over there? The 2013 Saskatchewan Roughriders would kick all their asses. All of them. It's not even a debate. Like, what do you have it against the Roughriders? You don't have one Rider team in there with the heartbeat of the whole league. I'm sorry. There's something. Something's not passing the smell test here.
It's two of the top CFL markets. Not included.
Yeah, there's no Ticats. Or is there? Was
yeah,
there?
No.
No Ticats either.
No Ticats. No Riders in the top eight.
Monty says they're smoking weed. That's what they're smoking. Weed.
They got Ottawa included with the Rough Riders, the Ottawa version. But so they got every community, and they put Baltimore in. But no Hamilton or Saskatchewan, which on the surface I kind of admire, because we're in this world of equality and everything's got to be fair. So you just assume they'd pick one from every team and have nine, right? And somebody would get a bye or some.
Be real.
But
don't forget about who care about equality. Just be real.
But yeah, it's an interesting list.
Why are you guys all laughing back there? Monty, okay. Tarsi, I believe Tarsi's in Edmonton. He says they're smoking something stronger than that, I think. What, you smoking crack over there, TSN? You know what I believe why they're doing it is? They don't want to put a Rider team in because they know the Rider polls are all not skewed. The Rider fans just roll, dominate. Whatever Rider team will win, so they purposely left them out. But that's not a legitimate poll. That's not our fault as a Rider Nation that we do have the best, most invested fans. That's not something we should be punished for. Colin in Ottawa says the 09 Alouettes were put in just to troll Rider fans. Oh, I'd ask Tressman. Even he knows they're not the best Montreal team. Come on. You completely delegitimize yourselves by doing that, in my opinion. Chris Bird in Toronto says Hamilton's not in because hashtag the Ticats suck. That part I get it.
99 was pretty good. That roster was stacked in 99 for the Ticats.
Very good team. Very, very good team. Danny McManus set records that year.
Yep.
How's this guy? Kenny Rychuk says now they're doing dabs over at TSN. About what? Anyways, that's why we're out of time here for the warm-up, but I don't get it. Best team ever come off it. And we'll talk about the poll a little later on because we got to get to a break and bring Rick Vive in. It's the RP Show. That's been the warm-up. On the way, Luke Akanji and Brian Weeb as well from BC Hockey League. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the RP Show on this Thursday, November the 19th. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues. And everybody in the bunker is excited about our next interview. Co-host Darren, producer Clark, all big Leaf fans. And while I'm not a Leaf fan, I've always been a Rick Vive fan. 876 NHL games. First round pick of the Vancouver Canucks in 79. I got to ask him how it ended up that he went to Toronto right after that, because I don't know. From 79 to 87 with the Leafs, then to Chicago, Buffalo. Rick Vive's got a new book out here entering the holidays, Two Catch 22, My Battles in Hockey and Life. Let's bring him in. Rick Vive, the Ottawa product. Looking forward to chatting with him. How you doing, Rick? These guys will fix it.
Yeah, they always do.
Just working on the audio. They always do. I know we just got people going with the Grey Cup talk, and then we switch it and talk a little Leafs. But listen, we're not going anywhere for a while, so we got a couple hours to get into that. How's the audio coming now, guys? Because if we have a minute, nothing yet. Okay, well, they're working on it. That hair's gone white. He looks a lot different than what we're used to.
Yeah.
Rick Vive.
Looks good, though.
Of course he looks good. Looks like $1 million.
All the hockey, that's the one, all the former hockey players look like $1 million. I saw, you know, the reverse retros, and we mentioned the Penguins one looks like Mario. Like, that reminds you of Mario, and for me, Yager. There was a video on social media, the Penguins put it from their official accounts, of Mario unwrapping the retro jersey with his name and number on the back of it. It looks so great. And then he puts it on. But Mario looks like he could still play.
Oh, yeah.
Like these guys, hockey players, for whatever reason, when they're done playing, they always seem to look really good.
A lot of it has to do with the hair.
Yeah.
You'll look good older because you're not losing any hair.
I hope not.
Guys, let me know what's happening with Rick Vive. Speaking of great hair. The poll question while we wait today, I think, is a good one. And I would have put it up yesterday, although we had a good question yesterday, but for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, who's the greatest architect in pro sports history? And I bring it up because Theo Epstein has stepped down as president of the Cubs. And Dan Le Batard of ESPN Radio said Epstein's the best architect in pro sports history, not just baseball, pro sports. Led the Cubs and the Red Sox to World Series titles after 100-year droughts in both places. I get it. I get why they would say that.
Oh, yeah.
So the other guys that we all came up with, we put our heads together. Glenn Slats Sather, Theo Epstein, Bill Belichick, or Jerry Krause. He was the Bulls GM. If you watch The Last Dance, you'll know who he is.
Yeah, nobody. He doesn't have great name recognition. I think that's why he's getting the low end of the stick.
Six titles in the 90s.
Yeah.
And again, that's the far screen from me, but Slats is leading, right?
Yeah, 48%. 44 for Belichick. But again, that's the recency bias that comes in, right? We know Bill and what he did in New England.
Man. And this is the thing. On Twitter, Belichick's leading by a nose, 43%. Glenn Sather, 38%. And Joe Lazito has chimed in from Long Island, and he says Bill Torrey, Mr. William Torrey. He says Epstein doesn't hold a candle to Mr. Torrey. This is an Islanders fan. And here's the thing. You, Joe, are the inspiration for the poll. That's what made me think of it. But Sather's got five Stanley Cups. And Torrey has four. And what really sucks about the 13th man in 09 is what? They blew it. There was people literally when we were leaving McMahon Stadium that night saying, oh, well, we'll get him next year. No! They count these things. And that's what would give Glenn Sather a nudge over Bill Torrey as the greatest architect in NHL history. But as Don McNeil in Central Ontario wrote in earlier, there's some Habs GMs that were pretty good too, long before your time, but Sammy Pollock and those guys.
Well, and you don't think of it like today, and the young hockey fans don't, but what about Ken Holland and what he did in Detroit? You know, 23, 4-plus years without missing the playoffs, the Stanley Cups that they won. It wasn't four or five Stanley Cups, but it was multiple, and, you know, that was a dynasty in the NHL, in today's terms, what Detroit went through under Ken Holland. He was a great architect there. There's a lot of guys who could be in the conversation.
Now here we go. What's happening with Rick Vive? Okay, they've lost him. So Rod Monroe, Clark's dad's writing. He says Sam Pollock, 9 Stanley Cups. Craig Campbell from the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto says Frank Selke Sr. is an architect to consider. Leafs in the 30s, early 40s. Canadiens, 40s to 60s. Championships and also built amateur and pro farm systems. Colin in Ottawa asks, how could you go with Sather when he failed miserably in New York with the Rangers? Five Stanley Cups are five Stanley Cups, bruh. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, if Ken Holland fails miserably in Edmonton, does it discredit everything he did in
Absolutely
Detroit?
Not.
They seem to think that way about Peter Chiarelli, though, in Edmonton.
But he did do a terrible job.
But he won Stanley Cups in Boston, right? So did he just like trip and stub his toe and fall into the Stanley Cup? Maybe. One Stanley Cup. That can happen with a good coach and a good team. But, yeah, you win the Cups and... Yeah, they changed. The Rangers changed. I remember that through like the late 90s, early 2000s. They try and just buy teams, right? No salary cap. They could just spend money in free agency like crazy. And it didn't work. But he still won in 94.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry. But Joe goes on to say, and at least we can have a civil discussion on this. Joe says, Torrey, 4 Stanley Cups in a row, 19 straight playoff series wins. Neither will happen again. Say there was a close second. And he makes a smiley face emoji. Because you know that he's just trolling. Because, as this came up in these Stanley Cup playoffs, Lou Lamoriello moved into a tie with Torrey for playoff wins total. It's like series wins like 27 or 28. Say there's got 41. So you can add those 5 Stanley Cups plus the series wins in New York. Because he did take the Rangers to the Stanley Cup final, don't forget. Right?
Yeah.
So, hey, again, this is why I don't care about the drafts. 75%, only 75% of those players taken in the draft ever even play. Let's talk about them at the end of their career. Let's talk about how many championships they've won. Now we're getting somewhere. Frankie in Ottawa, still watching, he says, Brian Kilray. Oh, listen, I get it, but I had to keep it to the pros, and I kept it to the major 4 sports. The options again, Glenn Sather, Jerry Krause, Theo Epstein.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Belichick. That's a no-doubter. There's nobody even arguing that.
It's a long time. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was a good quarterback before Tom Brady came into the league, right?
Yep.
Before Bledsoe went down. But there was, it's decades the span, right? You look at the time spent between the Super Bowl wins, you know, in 07 to, you know, Brady winning his last one. And there's a long, long stretch of success, you know, for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. And we'll see if that continues. I mean, they're not the same New England Patriots right now, but they're still doing kind of crazy things like getting Cam Newton in on that contract. And he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's winning football games, knocking off the Baltimore Ravens, who are a Super Bowl contender. And he's got them right in the thick of things. It's still a long way to make the playoffs, but if they do, if they win a playoff game, all of a sudden it's, hey, the magic of Bill, it reigns supreme again.
Yeah, Frankie goes on to say Dale Hunter with the London Knights. You know, if we sat down and talked, did a junior hockey show on the greatest architects of junior all time, now you're throwing in your Kelly McCrimmons and your Bruce Hamiltons and your Brian Kilrays and your Hunters. But that's not what we're talking about today. The poll has been whittled down to these four guys. And that's why we enjoy you all joining us for coffee here on these weekdays. We are the view for sports fans, if you will. Chris in Toronto says, speaking of junior hockey architects, can't forget about the late, great Bert Templeton, who coached and managed many teams in the OHL. Well, if I may, and Craig's watching from the Hockey Hall of Fame, I'd like to see more junior guys go into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Boy, have we opened a Pandora's box. I just thought it would be a simple poll question.
Even in the builders category.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're so instrumental to the game. They're so instrumental to, you know, the future of the game, to, you know, it's the fabric of the hockey community, not just our country, but all over the world. Yeah, junior hockey plays a very important role.
It's the same as college football.
Yeah.
And I wonder where Mandy is from Edmonton today, because she wondered why we were endeavoring to grow our show in the United States. Because I think at one time a quarter of our viewers were in America. Now it's up to 33%. And the reason is they love sports down there so much more than they do in Canada. I mean, come on. University sports was just flickering like a candle in the wind. Rest in peace, Elton John, who's not even dead yet. CFL flickering. This pandemic might... That's the truth. So I prefer to have that population base in the United States that enjoys sports more than Canadians do, just to prop us up and keep us in business. Point being, the 17 years that I worked in major junior hockey, when it morphed with the CFL, I just realized major junior hockey is no different than college football. The players come from there. They're the same age. They're designated amateur athletes. Yet there's 100,000 people showing up in the big house in Michigan. And 1,700 in Swift Current. What the hell's going on here?
I know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Huge, yeah, discrepancy in the way they turn out. But we'll take them. Like, hey, if you want to watch, and we can grow the fan base. And the thing that we've learned, too, it's wonderful to have this American audience, this new audience, and it allows us to have, you know, a little more reason to get deeper on the NFL and the things that we love.
Yeah.
But they also love talking about the CFL or listening to talk about the NHL. You know, they're a little bit starved for it. There are hockey fans in the United States. There are
millions
Canadian football fans or the NFL football fans. You know, you see it all the time. They catch a CFL game on ESPN2. And they catch on. They're like, this is great football. It's like when we would catch an Arena League game on and get captivated and be like, this is pretty fun.
Or lacrosse.
Or lacrosse.
NLL.
Right? So there's enough of them that'll sit and want to listen to the talk about Canadian sports.
I love this. Mandy checks in. Speaking you shall be heard. Speak her name. Mandy was watching and she says, hi, I wasn't wondering why. My point was that you would want to appeal to broaden the fan base, just as the CFL would want American talent to broaden the fan base of CFL to Americans as well. I just think we've had a real problem this week. I think it's with closed captioning or a language barrier. What I'm saying is not what people are hearing. So the point is, it's not us appealing in America. is similar to the Grey Cup acts being Canadian. I want it to be Canadian because we're going to be on the air in America with a Grey Cup. So let's expose the Canadian acts. Because guess what? Everybody in America knows who Lenny Kravitz is. Everybody in America knows who the Black Eyed Peas are. So why are we bringing them up here for Grey Cup? You're not hearing what I'm saying. And I'd prefer to just let that discussion die because we're never going to reach an olive branch on that. Trent in Norway. We put this up. Norway calling. Snow is falling thick and fast on the west coast of the country. The pro sports executive list you have is a good one, but it will be interesting what the Patriots will do if they get there. If it was a junior hockey show, Terry Simpson of the Prince Albert Raiders would be there. Stay safe, everyone. Simso would be, but one Memorial Cup. One hallowed Memorial Cup. We got him? Okay, we're going to go to a break and come right back with Rick Vive. We got him. Sports update coming up, too. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Sud's full-service car wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, here we go. We got it. And I'll say it again for those that just joined us. Rick Vive, known as the Leaf in his 876 games, but he also played with the Canucks, Sabres as well. First round pick of the Vancouver Canucks, and he joins us now. We got the audio issues sorted out. Hey, Rick, you're looking great. How are you, my friend?
I am fabulous. Pretty busy right now, but that's all right. There's not a heck of a lot else going on these days, so why not?
When you say busy, is that with the book tour for Catch 22 or something else? What's keeping you so busy?
No, it's the book. And obviously, we're not going around the country doing in-person signings and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of media stuff to do. And the first couple of weeks are pretty busy. And, the golf season, well, it's not quite over. I'm playing tomorrow, but our course is closed. But we have another place we're going to go play, my buddies and I, and have one final match to see who are the best.
What's unbelievable, we've been under snow here for a while. I've seen photos of my friends in Southern Ontario with the weather. Darren, you had your finger in the air.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surrounded by Leafs fans, Rick, so I might not even ask any questions.
No,
well, that's
go
a
ahead.
Good thing.
That's a great thing. It's a great thing, Rick. You mentioned you're staying home. I was just going to ask you, are you guys still signing books? Like, what is that? How's that process in the book tour business? Like, do you sign them and ship them off, or is that just not happening?
Yeah, well, I had 108 I had to sign that were for Indigo Chapters, and I guess it was something that they wanted to do with some of their customers or something. I'm not quite sure, but I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, going forward, are they going to send out a whole bunch of books to sign? I'm not sure.
Rick, I got this one thing that's burning a hole in my that I got to ask you about. I did a sports banquet a few years ago with Clark Gillies and Trotz and Mike Bossy, and we talked about the old Titan 30-20s. And I don't know how it came up, but they said Rick had like a 30-40 or a 30-60. He said it was a tree trunk. That ricked you. It was legendary in the NHL that your stick was like a friggin' tree trunk. What's the story? It was a Titan, was it not? Like, did you get specially made sticks?
Yeah, it was. And what happened was I kept breaking sticks like crazy, taking slap shots and everything. And then when I went to Titan, it was still happening. So I said, I need these things to be stiffer and stronger so that they're not breaking all the time. And the only way they could do that was they could make the shaft bigger and thicker. And it was almost square. I mean, it was like, I don't know how much it weighed, but I bet you it weighed, oh, God, it must have been 14, 15 pounds.
Man. Is that, were you breaking
it? Hold on.
You were leaning on him too much?
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on one sec.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to get one. I'm telling you. I know.
I need the tracksuit that he's wearing.
There it is. Look, he's got one. These things, kids, are legendary. We're going to put his headphones back in. Yeah,
here we got you, Rick.
I'm telling the kids, these sticks were legendary.
Yeah, look at the size of this thing and how thick it is. And,
oh, my God.
You know, it's kind of... And this is This is the knob back in the 80s.
Of course. Is that a rubber knob?
This is the original stick. This is the original stick from the first 50 goals season, the one that scored the 50th goal.
Wow.
And took me forever to get it out of the Hall of Fame, but finally, through begging and pleading and I didn't quite get down on my knees, but it was close. And I got it.
Well, we got the Hockey Hall of Fame guys. They watch every day, so I'll get their side of the story as to how you got that stick out of there. But just one more, just as the hockey nerd that I am, did anybody else use that pattern, if you will? Or were you the only guy in the NHL using that Titan club?
Well, I think Wayne's was probably pretty darn close. I don't think it was quite as big, but it was very similar. I'm not sure about the curve and all that because I just used a very little curve and it was in the middle of the blade. No toe curve or heel curve. It was in the middle and there was very little curve to it. But Wayne's was, well, the exact same stick. It might have been a little lighter and a little thinner in the shaft, but he pretty much used the same one.
Yeah, well,
so I can say, hey, I use the same stick as Wayne Gretzky did.
It was the stick. That's what it was. Hey, and one more. Your jersey over your shoulder there. When the Leafs announced their retros, we had a little game here the other day, and we said, name the first guy you think of when you see that jersey. And mine was Rick Vive. And as I said, I wasn't even a Leaf fan, but that was the jersey. What did you think when they unveiled it, and how honored are you that that was the style?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't too crazy about it. I wore those in the 80s, and I'm not a big fan of the white all the way down the sleeve or white on the shoulders. I like the clean cut one that they have now, and I like the logo better that they have now than that square kind of cornered Leafs. I like the one with the veins and everything in it. It's traditional, and it's clean, and it really looks good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there, it was quite an era. And, you know, I got to talk about your book for a second, Catch 22, Rick. Your publisher sent it to us. It's not your collection of rollicking, funny hockey stories from the locker room. You're getting serious in this. My battles in hockey and life. Can you talk? It's just not, it's not your normal, it's more of a biography than funny hockey stories. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was approached many times, you know, about writing a book. And at first, there was a couple of things. First of all, the only person I would write it with was Scotty Morrison. He's a good friend of mine. We got along great when he covered us in the 80s and beyond. And secondly, if I was going to do it, it wasn't going to be full of fluff. And, you know, I think a lot of people, unless they're a little older and wiser, probably assume that, oh, he played in the NHL for 13 years, his life was perfect, and now he's a millionaire, which that's far from the truth. And so is the other part. But the game is so much different, too. I mean, what we went through in the 80s, whether it was injuries or whatever it was, is so much different than today that, I mean, I got traded from Chicago to Buffalo the day after Christmas. My in-laws were in town for the holidays. My wife was pregnant. We had a two-year-old, and I had to catch a, I got told at 10:30, had to catch a 1 o'clock flight to Buffalo. I was supposed to play that night in Buffalo, but I didn't get out because of a snowstorm till later and missed the game. And I didn't see my family till February 4th. So my wife had to do everything. Nowadays, they put them on a private plane, bring them to town, have people show them around, and the whole bit. So a lot of things have changed dramatically since the 80s.
Well, I hope you don't mind me asking. It was in the review of your book. I'm in recovery, 5.5 years, long-term recovery, Rick. There was some talk about alcoholism in your background, and it's in the book, I understand. What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, my grandfather was a, you know, full-blown alcoholic, and some other people in my mother's side of the family, and obviously I inherited those genes, I think, and, you know, I didn't realize it, and I went undiagnosed with anxiety for many years, and the only way that I coped with that was alcohol, unfortunately, and it just kind of snowballed, and it got worse and worse. And then at 35, I quit, and then had to do it all over again. There was a two-year span of drinking, and then this time I went and got help, went to rehab, and now it's been be 8 years or 9 years next month.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty proud of the fact that I did it twice, and once on my own and once with some help. But, you know, the 50-goal seasons and everything were great. Being captain of the Maple Leafs was a great honor. But my biggest accomplishments were overcoming that, in my mind anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. I'll tell you guys something. Quitting drinking is not a problem. Staying quit. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right. So good for you. And my dad said the same thing about me. So I'm very proud of you for that. So with this book, what I love, I've read a lot of books, Rick. I've written three of my own. The good ones are like how-to books in life and overcoming things. So your story's in this book for Catch-22. Did you feel like you got stuff off your chest and felt better after you got it published and got it on sale? Are you proud of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because I didn't hold anything back, and I think that's probably the biggest thing for me was when that if I was going to write a book, it was going to be the truth. It wasn't going to be full of fluff and crap. It was the truth, and it was what I went through from when I was a kid all the way through my career and up till today, and you know, things are great today, and I've got a grandson now, and, you know, so things are fantastic. But you know what, there's not too many people in the world that, you know, grow up with a perfect life, and there's challenges and hurdles that are thrown at you over and over again. And if you're strong enough to overcome those, then you're going to have success. And so that's what I had to deal with. And, you know, the name of the book is Catch 22 for the reason that when I was young and throughout my entire career, I was caught in Catch 22 situations, which is damned if you do, damned if you don't. And if you throughout the whole book, you'll see a lot of situations where it was a tough situation, a tough decision to make.
I can't wait to read it through the holidays, Rick. And I'll say congratulations again. And by the way, Tiger Williams is a good friend of mine. He loves you like family. And I've never heard anything bad at all. The number one thing is that stick. Everybody talks about your stick. Just one more. Eddie Bankowski, one of our longtime viewers here, he says, is that a working pedal sewing machine over Rick's shoulder? What's the story on that sewing machine? Yeah, what's the story? Do you do that?
God, no. Are you kidding? No, that was my wife's mother's. It was an old antique from her mother way, way back. And so she got it when her mother went into a long-term care home. And it's been here ever since. And no, it doesn't work.
Okay, gotcha. There you go, Eddie. Rick, I could go on all day, but I'll let you go. And I appreciate this. Again, I can't wait to get my hands on the book. Catch 22, Rick Vive's story, available wherever you buy books. I hope we can do this again sometime, man. You're a champion. I appreciate the time today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
Toronto Maple Leafs great Rick Vive joining us from Ontario today. Did he say he was going out golfing again?
Yeah, one more round.
Hard to believe. We'll be back with a sports update. We got Luca Kanji coming, Grey Cup champion. Tell some Grey Cup memories. And from the BC Hockey League Network, Brian Weeb. Hang on, you're watching the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome back. The boys are still buzzing here in the bunker about the interview with Rick Vive. That was awesome.
Oh.
You There was a Leafs before you were born, right? You realize that.
Yeah.
There's a Leafs before Matt Sundin.
There is. I wish.
I just wonder how much down the rabbit hole you've gone in investigating.
And I have, as good as it was, and like you don't realize all the Stanley Cups and stuff, and still the guy that I watched, like Sundin, is one of the top greatest Leafs of all time, like top three.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not.
He's number one in points. I couldn't believe it. Never won anything, and all the great teams. But part of me thinks that I did miss the good era.
Part of you. You did.
I did miss the good times.
Sports update. The Raptors went with a point guard with a 29th pick in the NBA draft last night. Toronto selected Malachi Flynn from San Diego State with the second last pick of the first round. So that was 29th. I was hosting the Recovery Hour last night. Then I was watching Netflix with my wife. I was not glued to ESPN watching the draft. Did their pick not come in until like 10:30?
Something like that.
It was insane.
Oh, yeah. Like, we were playing slow pitch at night, and we still didn't know who they picked.
Oh, okay. Then it wasn't just, I'm like, did I miss something? This draft is literally 4 hours for the first round. Whew. The Minnesota Timberwolves selected Georgia freshman guard Anthony Edwards with the number one pick in the delayed NBA draft. Edwards became the 11th straight one-and-done player to be the top pick, coming in a year where there was no clear, obvious choice. He averaged 19 points for the Bulldogs, tops among all freshmen. The Golden State Warriors, stung by the news that Klay Thompson sustained another leg injury earlier in the day, had the second pick in the draft and went with 7'1" center James Wiseman of Memphis. The Warriors stumbled to the bottom of the league while Thompson missed the entire season with a torn ACL in his left knee. Listen, pandemic bubble aside, 15 wins. That's all the Warriors had last year. 15?
Like, that's the fastest fall from grace I've ever seen.
In sports history.
History.
Daniil Medvedev is enjoying the ATP Finals a lot better in his second appearance. Medvedev secured a spot in the semifinals of the season-ending tournament by dominating five-time champion Novak Djokovic 6-3, 6-3 for his second straight win of the group stage. Are you watching that?
Of course.
Yeah. The PGA Tour now has three players who have tested positive for COVID-19 during the RSM Classic at Sea Island. Kramer Hickok and Henrik Norlander each received positive tests and have withdrawn. And from the NFL, the Panthers announced that running back Christian McCaffrey is not expected to play Sunday against the Detroit Lions. A big blow for a Carolina team that is trying to snap a five-game losing streak. It will be the second straight game McCaffrey has missed because of a shoulder injury and the eighth game he's missed overall this season. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all of your office Christmas party needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. They are big supporters of this show, and we have them open daily at 4 p.m. and Fridays for lunch. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. We're ticking to the end of hour one. We're going to have a lot of fun in hour two. Luke Akanji coming up with us and Brian Weeb from the BC Hockey League. Am I the only one that's annoyed that TSN left the Riders off their top eight list of Grey Cup teams? Because I feel like I'm the only one that's getting annoyed.
You're not the only one. I went through the list. And I don't immediately go there, but I immediately went to, wait a second, there's no Hamilton or Saskatchewan on here. How do they leave two teams out this whole thing?
Makes no sense.
Pick the best one from each team and go, but you know what? I kind of like that they didn't just give everybody one just because, but man, 99 and 2013, those were two pretty good years.
Give me a break. Viewer takeover, real quickly, from Brady in Saskatoon. Hey, Rod, the Seahawks are winning tonight. They are wearing their undefeated color rush jerseys. That's the neon green. That's cool. He says that Kirby Doc kick pass was a thing of beauty yesterday. Did you see that?
I did.
From the 716, Big Rod, you got to reach out to our man, good friend of both you and I, Mr. Greg Zahn. Have him on the show. Do you recall last time the Riders hosted the Grey Cup? The Zontourage was in town. Oh, do I remember? We'll talk about that next hour. Again, Luke Akanji, Brian Weeb coming up. Thanks to Rick Vibe. We'll see you over an hour or two after the break and on Game Plus.
You screwed up, Clark!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.